familiar words from chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. And I don't expect it's the first time you've heard this passage or read this passage over the past 3 or 4 weeks. These somewhat mysterious wise men, or magi, don't feature in Luke's account of the Nativity story. But they're no less important for that. Luke's account of the birth of Jesus sets him fair and square in the context of the Jewish people and their history, past and future. His coming fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. Matthew's account, which we've just heard, kind of completes the picture, for it shows that this child, born of the line of David, was acknowledged even in his infancy and by representatives of the non-Jewish world to be indeed the King of the Jews. We don't know too much about these men, these wise men as they're called. We understand them to be trained astrologers and probably of the Zoroastrian religion, the oldest continuous religion in the world, a religion which has at its centre, a belief in one creator God. They were learned men, and it wouldn't be surprising if they were familiar with the history and the writings of the Jewish people. It may well have been that they were looking out for some kind of astrological phenomenon indicating the arrival of a new king in Judea, for this had been recorded. This had been prophesied, as we heard in our reading. A new king who would claim universal homage and who would usher in an age of peace. Someone to be celebrated, someone to be looked forward to. We don't know exactly where they came from. From the east has been taken to mean Persia or perhaps Arabia. But the gifts they brought, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, could have been found in a number of eastern countries. Their own country to which they returned isn't named, but the important thing isn't any of that detail that we don't know. The important thing is that they did come, and what their story embodies. The story is highly significant. It's a sort of type of the early history of Christianity. The Son of God was revealed to the Jews first, to Mary and Joseph, and then to the Gentiles, the foreign astrologers. He was revealed first to the humble, the poor, the ignorant, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, and then to the honourable, the learned and the rich, these wise men that we've been talking about, to the west and then to the east. Truly, this was a king and a saviour for all mankind. But that's not really what I want to dwell on this morning. There's two things. Why did these visitors come? And what did they do when they reached their destination? In verse 2 of our reading, we're told their purpose. Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. This wasn't a journey to earn them any kind of personal advantage. But they had been waiting for some kind of sign to tell them to set off on this journey. And when that sign came, they didn't hang about. They got going with one sole purpose, to find the great king and offer him their worship. And when, after a somewhat circuitous journey via the court of King Herod in Jerusalem, they finally find the king they've been searching for, what do? Verse 11 tells us, they bowed down and they worshipped him. David Kossoff, in his wonderful account of the story in his Book of Witnesses, goes a little bit further. He says, they wept and they prayed. Just take a wee moment of quiet and think, in all that we have done this Christmas, have we found the Christ? As we have sung the carols and exchanged our gifts, have we truly worshipped him? Hold on to that thought as we hear our other two stories.